Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, I'm trying to think of like a fun, like, banter to do with you right. As we normally do to start, but I'm just so mad about how the game ended tonight.
It's so funny how we were so high last week.
I'm really upset about it. I don't have anything pleasant to say to you, dude.
Yeah. We were excited last week. A couple weird games, but we'll be okay. Then we lose to Buffalo, we lose to Vancouver, and tonight we lose to Winnipeg. Great. Great. This is exactly a replay of last year now, essentially.
Yeah.
They started hot, and now they're losing to bad teams.
Yes. And this is, while you know, we might be tricked a little bit since we've collected single points in four of these five losses, this is a five-game losing streak, people.
Without a doubt.
So I didn't feel so bad about it until this week, and now I feel pretty bad about it. I feel pretty bad because we lost to it's arguably the worst team in the NHL, mm-hmm. in Buffalo, and they scored five goals on us. Four plus the shootout. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, let's start with that game. I mean, that's terrible. And you know what, dude? I mean, maybe Tommy Wingles is having the worst night of any of us tonight.
Yeah.
Second, you know, goal that he was involved in, disallowed in a week. Two totally different situations.
Yeah.
But as you said throughout that whole game against Buffalo, they do not deserve to win. They shouldn't win.
They shouldn't have won.
They almost did. They should have, because that goal was a goal.
Yeah.
And I would love to hear the explanation.
They tried to pull the intent to blow the whistle BS, but in this case, it is completely nonsensical and ludicrous. It's a horrible justification after the fact by the NHL. Mike Lego blew the whistle several seconds after the puck went in the net and came back out. So it's certainly impossible to believe that he intended to blow the whistle, say 5 or 6 seconds before. This guy must have the weakest right arm of anyone in the U.S.
Now, I can't see the puck. Now, where's that whistle?
Oh, I have no idea.
Guys, stop it. Stop playing, everybody. Is that what happened?
Apparently so. He's never reffed an NHL game before, and he forgot that the whistle was on his hand, and he didn't know how to blow it. And it took him 6 full seconds to figure it out. Listen, you know, mistakes happen. It shouldn't have happened in this case. It should have gone to Toronto. I understand that. That's a mistake, and I get that. And these things happen. It's weird, but it happens. But the horrible justification after the fact makes no sense. And there's no excuse for that. There's really none.
No, and you know what? That, as you said during that game, it doesn't really matter. They shouldn't have won that game. They didn't deserve to win that game. They played very poorly. To give up four goals to that team is an embarrassment, yeah, on your home ice. And it was terrible. And I thought by pulling Niemi, and I'd like to discuss this.
Excuse me, I'd like to discuss something.
That after they pulled Niemi, they kind of got their act together, right?
Yeah.
When Stalock didn't give up a goal, the team defense got markedly better. And then on Thursday and tonight, they trotted Niemi back out there again. And we gave up four goals in both those games.
And lost.
Now, I'm not pinning this on Niemi, because I think the team defense has been wretched.
Yeah.
But don't you think the team might benefit from Tuesday night in Calgary having Alex Stalock in net and having them all have a good long think about how they need to play maybe a little bit better because Stalock is not as good as Niemi.
Right.
And they need to play better. And maybe they just need a righting of the ship a little bit. And if that goes well, then guess what? You play Stalock again the next game.
Yeah.
Until they Stalock's not going to take over, but wake him up.
Right.
Wake him up.
Playing him two games in a row is not the equivalent of kicking dirt in Niemi's face either. Maybe people disagree with that, but I don't see how you can do that. Niemi's has kind of a rough stretch here. He's given up four goals in three straight games. He's not been playing great. The defense, so shake it up. The coach is willing to shake up the lines after about 35 seconds of bad play. Let's shake up the goalie situation and see what happens. Of course, Niemi is the number one. Of course, in crunch time or against the best teams, we play Chicago a week from today. Of course, you're going to play Niemi against Chicago for many reasons. He's the best goaltender. It's his old team. You expect him to play well. But why not? Like you said, I'm totally on board with this. One of the things I can't explain about the Sharks is their unwillingness to give the backup goaltender even a reasonable number of games throughout the season. 70 game start is too many. It's too many, especially for a team that wants to go deep in the playoffs. If you're Florida and you have Tim Thomas, you want to run him into the ground anyway. Who cares? Play him 75 games and be done with it. But this is a team that wants to be playing in May. There's no reason to give him that many minutes.
Especially since, you know, Stalock did not look bad in Ottawa.
Not at all.
So he deserves to play. I hope he plays in Calgary. I think it would be the best thing for this team to wake up a little bit. Wake up. Because they've tried a couple different things. They did not play Brad Stewart today. They played Matt Irwin,
who promptly gave up the first goal of the game.
And
or no, the first goal to Winnipeg, that is, not the first goal.
So, yeah, on a block shot, I mean,
listen,
some of the goals have been super fluky, but some of them have been just purely blown assignments, you know? And yeah, and the Sharks say all the right things after the game, you know, that we got to play better.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this is
go ahead now.
Yeah, we're ready, guys. It pissed me off because, like, the last hockey news that came in the mail.
It's like, Sharks are awesome.
It was like, the Sharks, why this year's different? And I was looking at that. I was looking at that today, actually, and I think it's funny now, but when I saw it, I didn't think it was funny.
Yeah.
Because all I was thinking to myself was like, it's not different. And I got hooked in again, dude. Yeah. I thought it was different, and it's just, it makes me pissed. It's the same story, right?
It's the same story. Same story. So this proves to all of us that nothing matters until we get to April. We can think this team is different now. We can think this team is different in February. But we have nothing to go on until they actually do it. There's nothing predictive about the way the Sharks have played. They win the first, you know, they win 10 of the first 11 games or whatever it is, and they're just crushing people, and then they lose to maybe two of the worst teams in the NHL. This team has no continuity. They play terrible. It was Couture's fault on that Ladd goal. I don't care what people say. When you're at the point and you're a defenseman and you have the puck, when you shoot, your first job is to get it past the block. Your second job is to get it on net. And Matt Irwin failed at job number one. He's the last guy back. He failed at the first job. The first job is to get the puck past the block. He didn't do it. 2-on-1 the other way. Goal. It's Matt Irwin's fault. Period. Period. There's no other way to state it. So I've been in that same position myself in games. Of course, it's not an NHL game, but that's the situation. You bang it off the defense. You rip the shot. You bang it off the defenseman's shin pads. Guess what? I don't care if it was a 90-mile-per-hour screamer that would have caught the corner. You got to get it past the block first. And he didn't. I wouldn't be surprised if he sits again. That was a terrible mistake, in my opinion. That's a rookie mistake. I don't know why. I you know, for a team that's been struggling, you got to make those simple things right. And that's basic.
If we're looking for bright spots, Tomáš Hertl had a great goal again tonight.
Tommy Wingles had
a
great goal.
Tommy Wingles, I mean, the top line playing pretty well. Other than that, you know, the the fourth line tonight was invisible.
Yeah.
I mean, completely invisible.
Yeah.
And, you know, a team that we were sort of championing their depth a couple weeks ago now looks to be in that same position that we've seen in the past, where this is a two-line team, and then the other two lines, they just are invisible.
Mm-hmm.
It's so frustrating, dude. I don't know. Of course.
Let's not swing too far the other way.
No, I know. And I think I was just going to say that. I think you hit it right on the head. Every team is capable of rattling off win streaks and then losing streaks. And we're not going to know. We're not going to know until April comes. We're just not going to know.
Yeah.
So it's probably not worth our energy to get too high or too low.
It's true. We shouldn't get all riled up about this because, frankly, we have no frigging clue what's going to happen.
No, we don't. I mean, we don't even know what the team's going to look like at that point.
That's
true. You know,
I mean,
who's going to be here? Who's not? When Torres comes back. We did get some questions this week. A lot of them were about Brent Burns.
Yep.
You know, which is, you know, we know he's on the trip, but that has been an extremely silent subject by the Sharks. No indication of what the injury is, other than, you know, at first it seemed to be almost nothing, like he was having some dental work.
Yeah.
But clearly much more serious than that.
I heard something, the nasal sinus issue, something this week. And I'm looking at an email from Anthony, who is actually a Sharks fan from Western Australia, which is awesome. He's been listening to us from the beginning. We got a lot of cool emails from a lot of people who've been listening for a long time. Several people at least claim to go back to the first days in 2008 when we were cutting our teeth in this wonderful podcasting world. But Anthony asks, you know, what's going on with Burns being out? How much of this slump has to do with Burns being out? Why is he still out? When's he due to come back? There's no timetable on Burns, frankly. I've heard nothing. I heard this one thing. I can't remember if it was on Pollock or Kurz or whatever, but nasal sinus issue. I don't believe it. It's a concussion. I'm spreading unsubstantiated rumors, let's be honest. But come on, he has a concussion history. He's had concussions before. He had concussions in Minnesota. I looked it up. That's what this is. You get hit in the head a bunch of times with a stick. Okay, you knock some teeth out. I get it. But come on, he's probably got a concussion. He needs to come back from it.
I don't think he just has a sinus infection, dude?
No,
because
no,
that can be. I mean, that can ruin your day.
That can be really uncomfortable. I've been there.
You've got to rinse. You get the thing and you squirt it up your nose. You bend over the sink and it comes pouring out this like thick goo. Some might call mucus.
Yeah.
That could... I wouldn't feel like playing. I'll tell you.
Yeah. This is unconvincing. This is unconvincing.
Concussion.
Yeah.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I really want to ask Anthony this. Are there Outback restaurants in Australia?
That's a good question.
That's what I want to know.
That's the question
and
of the week.
The second part of that is, does the idea of the Outback restaurant offend you? The idea.
That's a good question.
The shrimp on the barbie
right.
Concept. What do you think about that? Are there restaurants in Australia that are like, you know,
Cowboy Jim, and it's like some guy's like, howdy partner, and they're like making steaks or something and large burgers.
Welcome to Nebraska.
Yeah, exactly.
We're throwing some double A beef on the grill.
Yeah.
Make sure you get your beans.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just curious.
It's a good question.
I don't know, Anthony.
I'd much rather talk about this than the Sharks.
Yeah, I'm done with the Sharks. I just want to know. That's what I really want to know.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about Burns. So let's deal with the question. How much of this slump is due to Burns, dude?
None. I'd say minimal, dude. Mm-hmm. I mean, they won without Burns on a tougher road trip than they're in right now. I think this slump has everything to do with the team defense. And for some reason, they have... And I'm not even counting the LA and Phoenix losses. I'm really not, because I think while that's part of this 5-game losing streak, those I can handle because those are two good teams.
Yeah.
Giving up 4 goals in 3 straight games to 2 crappy teams, bottom dwellers, last place teams in their divisions, and then a team in Vancouver who you just own. And maybe, you know, Vancouver's good, right? They're on the outside looking in on a playoff spot, but they're close. But we own them. We had total ownage on them.
They played well.
They did. They did play well, but that shouldn't, against that team, like, that hasn't happened in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So
it's depressing.
Yeah, it was upsetting. So I think the team defense is the problem, and it was such a strength. I'm so upset, I almost just vomited.
I saw that. What'd you eat for dinner? What did I almost just see second time around?
Salmon.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I didn't see that.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's not a lot of high points here, and Havlat is not playing very well. I wouldn't say he had an opportunity at an overtime to score tonight, and he couldn't. And I think he might have had an opportunity the last game in overtime to score, and he didn't. And
yeah, Havlat kind of set a hurdle up with a pass during overtime that I thought was.
It's a good pass. Yeah, it just rolled on him a little.
Yeah. I don't know. There was something about that. I only saw it when it was live. I thought there was something funky about it. I don't know if he waited too long or I thought Hurdle was in, even if he got it, would have been in a really bad position to score. I mean, maybe that was on Hurdle more than Havlat. But yeah, I mean, Martin Havlat has not, you know, I can't say he's been bad. I can't. He's not been good.
Right.
But the guy also, I mean, I don't think we could put this on Havlat. I mean,
of course
we didn't
not.
Even need Havlat.
I mean,
maybe, is that why we've been losing? I mean, ever since he came back, have we won since he's played? Have we won?
I don't think so.
I think it's Havlat. Burn him. He's a witch.
Burn him.
Yeah, maybe it's Havlat, you know. I think we've used this analogy before, like an old Japanese man, put him on a raft and push him out to sea.
Well, Kerr said in his chat this week, I read the log or whatever, he said something like, well, the team still needs to understand, or Havlat still needs to prove that he can be an everyday NHL player. Do you consider that to be accurate, or do you think he's an NHL player, just maybe not a very good one right now?
Oh, man. Gosh, it's so hard to think that he's not an NHL player. That if he had been a free agent this year, that he wouldn't have been signed by a team. I just can't buy that. I mean, even if he hasn't been performing to his past resume, I still think someone would have signed him. I don't think he would be one of these guys who are just sort of rotting. But he's not worth the money.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Not even close. And I think I read that same chat log, and someone even said something about trading him, which I think is hilarious. Like, I mean,
who's gonna take him?
Not even Paul Holmgren would take him.
That's
saying quite a bit.
Yeah.
Not even the Oilers would sign him.
And they signed Przygalov.
So there's all kinds of shady, crazy stuff going
on. It shows you how much
on.
Trouble the Oilers are in. They were winning against Chicago and they lost tonight. They were up against Chicago, I think in the third. And they lost. They're bad. They're terrible. They're so bad.
It's so bizarre what's going on up there. And you have to think that there's more coming. I keep reading that they're trying to trade for Wayne Simmonds, which I think is the right idea. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They need a guy or two like that.
Flyers should give him Mazzaros. That's a guy they can do.
But the funny part is that they trade Smead.
Yeah.
When they already are terrible on defense.
I know.
And they trade a guy who's, I mean, that guy's not great, but he doesn't suck.
No, he's not bad.
And they basically just gave him away to Calgary to clear the cap space. So something's going on there. I think they're going to make some sort of a major trade. I think they're going to make some sort of major trade coming up here, but they have to give up one of their toys. I mean, they're going to have to give up one of their toys.
I agree.
And if they want to trade, I mean, I'm just, I'm spitballing here, dude. If they wanted to trade Nail Yakupov to the Flyers for Coburn and Wayne Simmons, then they should do that for the betterment of their team.
Yeah.
Because Yakupov can't even play right now.
Yeah.
And the Flyers need the cap space. It makes sense for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I agree with you.
So, but make it so!
That's a smart move. They would never do it.
Nope. No.
All right, dude. So, Calgary, Vancouver, Edmonton, and then Chicago this time next week. As this time last week, we're like, we should win all these games. And now I'm thinking, we should lose all these games. How the tide turns. Calgary, can we beat them?
They have come way back down to reality.
Yes, as everyone sort of thought they would.
But the way the Sharks are playing, it's hard to feel confident. It's just hard to feel confident. I'll tell you what, if they play Niemi, I think it's a loss. And if they play Stalock, I think it's a win. And I think it's just as easy as that, dude. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the team will respond to knowing that they've let Niemi down by playing like crap around him, that if Stalock gets the start, then the team will respond and they will win that game. I don't know if they'll dominate that game, but all they need to do is win.
Yeah, at this point, it's not like, oh, I want to win by three. Like, they came into Buffalo after losing to LA in overtime, losing to Phoenix in overtime. I said, they need to win by three goals. And of course, they lost in overtime. And so against Vancouver, I was just thinking, I hope they win, but I'm not sure that's going to happen. And then they got absolutely spanked by Vancouver. They got crushed.
I'll tell you, I'm worried about what happens after this road trip because they come home, but those home games
are
not nice.
Except for New Jersey.
Yeah. And then that road trip after that is brutal. The Sharks have a really brutal stretch coming up. If you look at starting on the 21st of November, Tampa, New Jersey, LA, St. Louis, and Anaheim at home. And then they go on the road, dude, for Toronto, Pittsburgh, Carolina, and Minnesota. That's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be tough. I mean, they need to figure it out fast or this could get, I mean, this could get as bad as it was last year. Remember when it was just so bad?
It was just like every night you're
spiral.
Like, it's terrible.
Yeah, it was a spiral and they just couldn't get, they need to get out of it now. I mean, these next three games, they need to figure it out.
Yeah, they need to figure it out against Calgary
well, in Vancouver, it's a winnable game for them. It is a winnable game. I don't buy it. Like, I know they played well last time, but I still think the Sharks are better than Vancouver. They should win. They should win all three of these games. Dude, if they lose in Calgary, I'm going to go
completely postal.
I'm going to lose it.
I won't lose it because Calgary actually showed that they can win some games earlier in the year. If they lose to Edmonton, I'm going to be in full on panic mode.
If they lose to Edmonton with Brizgalov and Net.
Yeah. Yeah.
What will happen?
The universe will rip open. It'll be like Thor. There'll be like an opening to another dimension.
Wow.
Yeah.
In episode 251 or 252, just dropped a Thor reference.
Why not? It's coming out. It's timely.
We got a lot of emails, people congratulating us on our 250th episode. Some folks who've been around from the beginning.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. A lot of people stuck with us.
Yeah, we heard from Jim.
And Gary and lots of people.
Yeah, Johnny.
Yep.
So, thanks, folks.
Thanks for your kind wishes, and I hope they can carry over into some Sharks victories because it's been a little painful here the last few days. I'm looking for a turnaround here.
Now, on the home front, dude, why don't you give us some analysis of the San Francisco Bulls?
They're not very good. They lose a lot of games. Actually, someone asked about if we're going to put together another Season 2 Bulls meetup.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'd like to go, dude.
I wouldn't mind going.
It was fun.
It was fun.
Are we going?
I think we can make it happen.
Okay.
I think we can make it happen. Like,
I don't even know if they're any good.
They're not.
Are you sure?
They got rid of Dean Ouellette. They just like released him, I think. Or like they're just like releasing guys. The Bulls are very entertaining. They just like they're constantly churning players.
Well,
it's like a meat grinder up there.
Those guys make like $70 a week, right?
I know. I mean, I think I saw Dean Ouellette at Home Depot wearing an orange apron.
I love how you're saying Dean Ouellette as if I know who the hell that is. I have no idea who that is.
And his name may not even be Dean Ouellette. I could be making that up. I have no clue.
Is Peter Civic still on the team?
No, he's gone.
What?
Yeah. They made this big splash and then they ditched him in the offseason, pretty sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who's on that team anymore?
Nobody.
Jordan Morrison?
I don't think so.
What? I think he is.
Jordan, you mean Jordan Clendenning?
No.
Oh. I don't know who Jordan Morrison
What about...
are we just naming... Are we
Chris Bellin.
Are we making up names?
No. What? Hans Benson, dude.
Hans Benson. I don't know if Hans Benson is still there.
Well, pull up the roster, dude.
Okay.
Damn it. People want to know. People are relying, on us for Sharks news.
Yeah.
And we've exhausted the Sharks.
Right.
So now we're going to look really quickly
here. Okay, let's look at the roster, dude. Yeah. They were victorious in their home opener versus Bakersfield.
Good.
But they had lost some games previous to that. Okay, let's look at the roster.
Here we go.
All right, what do we got? Mark Lee, leading the team. 7 points. Never heard of him.
There's Dean Ouellette.
There's Dean Ouellette, but I thought they got rid of him.
Oh. See, Jordan Morrison.
Jordan Morrison, you were right. He's still on the team, dude.
Chris Crane, Sharks property, former, I think, Ohio State.
Ryan McDonough's on the board. Oh, wait, that can't be the same Ryan McDonough.
Riley Brace, he's also Sharks property.
J.P. Anderson, for those who remember preseasons past, J.P. Anderson played in Sharks training camp a few seasons ago.
There's Chris Bellin.
Yep, and no Hans Benson, dude. So this is a team of names that I've never heard for the most part.
And
so,
how are they? Look at the schedule. Look at the standings.
Okay.
Let's see. Those are the standings to the right, dude.
Okay. Wait, hold on. I clicked the wrong thing.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Oh, this doesn't make any sense.
That's really bad, dude.
I don't even know what I'm looking at now. Okay, standings. Here we go. Whoa, these standings are odd. Okay, so the Western Pacific Division, the Bulls are 3-5-1.
That's not that bad.
And they're in third place somehow because the Las Vegas Wranglers are awful and the Bakersfield Condors are even worse.
So take it back, dude. Take it back. You said they were terrible. Take it back.
Dude, they're 3-6.
They're a playoff team. Take it back.
Okay. Take it back.
Yeah. Thank you. Take it back then.
Okay. Took it back.
All you gotta do is make the playoffs to get in the dance.
That's
you
right.
Don't know who your partner is gonna be. Could be a beautiful woman. Could be.
Could be the Colorado Eagles.
Could be. You could end up tangling with the Bakersfield Condors. 1-8. Boy,
that's bad.
That's bad. Boy, did they miss Setoguchi. Actually, no. He played for Ontario.
That's right.
Bakersfield. That was the Anaheim Ducks.
That's true. I think there was a goaltender that played there. I'm trying to remember who it was.
It was Timo Pielmeyer.
That's right. Timo Pielmeyer played for the Bakersfield Condors at some point. Anyway, well, dude, we've gotten far afield. If you want to go to see the Bulls, drop us a line, and I can try and hook up another group thing, I'm sure. They would be happy. Unfortunately, I saw a couple of shots of the stands during a game, and let's just say I don't think we're going to be having any difficulty finding tickets. Of course, we wish the Bulls the best. I wore my Bulls shirt yesterday, in fact. So I'm still rooting for them, of course. So maybe we can go and see some good minor league hockey and take our minds off this Sharks team that we are completely 100% unable to predict, but yet we will still talk about them next week.
That's right, dude. All right, we'll be back hopefully with some better news next week.
Talk to you then, dude.
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.